I am going to teach, how cool is this, Glenda, that Colossians, I'm teaching out of Colossians today. Like, God totally knew. I'm so grateful because I don't know anything. And you don't have to be seasoned to be thirsty, okay? I'm just saying, I get thirsty too. And things have started to fall, I'm telling you that much. Woo! It's already there. So, anyway, So when I was asked to speak and we're talking about the word of the Lord being a treasure, and I was like, where do I even begin, right? Because I feel like God has just rescued me in a million different ways. Like, his word is food for me. It is the air I breathe. It is like everything to me. So where do you start, right? Like, I don't even know where to start, but I just decided, you know what, I'm going to share with you guys like what God's been teaching me right now and like my latest thing that he's like, this is what you need, honey. And I'm like, oh, thank you. So lately I've been feeling like I need an adjustment. You guys ever feel like that? You're like, oh, I'm just a little bit out of alignment. I kind of need like an attitude adjustment maybe. Or, you know, you go to the chiropractor and you get an adjustment so that you can be healthy, so that everything can kind of work properly and kind of be where it's supposed to be. And lately I've been feeling kind of slow and not super duper fruitful and just kind of sluggish. And you know, I just feel like I'm just not working at my peak potential. Do you guys ever feel like that, right? You just feel like, I'm just not being super intentional, right, about life or faith or my mothering or all the things that are important in my life. But I think I just get really overwhelmed, right? Because life is just so much, right? Life is so much. It just comes whooshing at you. And you're just like, whoa. Sometimes you're just like, I'm in survival mode. I'm just getting swept along by life. And I'm just here for the ride. And, you know, whether it's in our career or our walk with Jesus or our family relationships, we can just start going through the motions and we don't even know when we stopped being intentional. And then it's too late. And then, you know, we just kind of, well, I hope it works out, right? And I'm a really go with the flow kind of girl. I'm like, it's fine. Like, I don't worry. You know, we leave the house 30 minutes before our flight takes off. And I'm like, no problem. Like, it's super okay. Like, I'm pretty like, I don't know. I'm just that way. But think about how many things work out when you just let everything go with the flow. Now, how about diet? Like, when you just let diet, just like, it's, you know, like, we have good intentions with our diet, right? But next thing you know, you're inhaling anything that comes, like, it doesn't even have, you don't even have to bring, like, if your mouth is sort of open, like, it just lands in there, right? So I just had a baby, well, 3 years ago. But when you... You guys feel like that? Any of y'all who have given birth, you're like, ooh, girl, I just gave birth. And then you're like, yeah, your son is 16. He's standing right there. Okay, but when you're 39 and you have a baby and it had been 10 years before your other baby, you're just like, you know, you're pregnant. And then you're like, well, I can't keep anything down except for Sour Patch Kids. So you're just like eating the Sour Patch Kids. And then you're like nursing. You're like, I'm nursing. I need the milkshake and I need this because, you know, I'm feeding for two and I'm this for two. And anyway, I just kind of went with it, like pregnant, nursing. And 3 years later, like I realized I'm still putting every single thing in my hole that goes by and it doesn't work out for you. And I realized that my body was like, stop. You're putting a lot of things in you that is not good for you. And it's not really working out with all your systems. And so I just had this realization that after being sluggish and slow and needing to take a nap, and I'm not a nap girl, I was like, whoa, I got to put my body into submission, okay? Now, who's ever heard of Whole30? Okay, we got a couple hands here. Okay, Brad, did you do it? Did you do the Whole30? It's gnarly, okay? It's gnarly. So the Whole30 diet is 30 days, and you take out everything that could potentially be hurting you, and then you add in all these things that are going to benefit your health. So we're talking like you take out all sugar, all grains, like not, you can't even have vanilla extract because it has alcohol in it. Like, you're like, really? Because it's a teaspoon. You take out all the wrong kinds of oils. You take out all these things. And it's like super gnarly. Like, you have to make your own condiments. Like, I'm making my own mayonnaise. I'm like you can't have ketchup. Ketchup has sugar in it, y'all. Okay, so like, you're like, oh, well, I'm making spaghetti. You buy the spaghetti sauce and sugar is on the list, or soybean oil. No legumes. Like, you can't eat anything, okay? For 30 days, you eat nothing. You can have, but you can have meat. I love meat. You can have vegetables. You can have fruit. And I think eggs. That's about it. So the whole idea is like, hey, man, take this time. Take these 30 days to heal up your body, to get things right, to give yourself this an adjustment, you know, of what's good and right. And it's almost like getting spanked. You're like, I don't know, it's probably totally wrong to talk about spanking, but girls, you know what good it does to your kids when they just get a little swat or a pinch or whatever. Don't tell nobody I said that, okay? But I spank my kids, and they are so happy afterwards. They're like, thank you. You, like, knocked me out of my stupidity. So Whole 30 is like a spanking. Okay, so that you can be good, so you can be well, you can be functional, you can be healthy. And it's like pushing the reset button on food. And I feel so much better. I did it. I did it. I did everything. Like, I did not lick the brownie spoon because I was not about to start over. That's what they say. They say start over if you lick the spoon. Like, I'm not even going to go there. So I did my Whole 30. I feel so good. And guys, just like the way that we can do that with our physical bodies, we need to do that with our spirits, with our spiritual body, with our emotions. And, you know, because we can have good intentions, and then all of a sudden you realize, I've been letting everything in that just wishes by because I'm not being intentional. And, you know, and then when you start letting any old thing in, you start acting on any old emotion, whether it's a healthy way to act or it's unhealthy. And next thing you know, you're not in a good spot. So the verses I'm going to talk about are kind of like pushing the reset button, like doing the Whole 30, but spiritually and relationally, and then everything is going to flow from there. And some of these verses are like a spanking, but like a good spanking. And they really are like, just like Whole 30, it's like a gentle guide to relational and spiritual wellness. So, like I said in the beginning, this is for me, but my guess is that it's also for you too. So when I'm going to use some funky metaphors today, so you're going to have to bear with me because I like metaphors and I usually end up using a lot. But we're going to start with gardening because gardening is just like so rich for metaphors. So I have a garden and I also have a long history of gardening, and some of that history is fruitful, but most of it is not, because I'm one of those girls. No, we all know what to do, in theory, for a garden. We got to cultivate, right? We got to cultivate the garden. Everyone knows you water often. You water gently. You know, there's certain plants you don't water on the leaves because it'll get moldy. You don't, you know, knock it out of the park. We all know, well, you got to plant in appropriate seasons. You know, broccoli's a winter vegetable and corn is a summer vegetable, although corn is a grain. I learned that on Whole 30, okay? You're welcome. But, you know, my point is, like, we all know, oh, you're supposed to plant with enough sun. You're supposed to weed your garden. There's all these things that you're supposed to do. Because no one just, like, no one in their right mind, like, walks out to some dirt and then just, like, throws some seeds out there, see ya, in 30 to 90 days. It's going to be awesome, you know, and expects to go back and there's this, like, amazing harvest. Like, no, mm-mm. We realize that if we want success in the garden, it takes careful cultivation. So there's also a whole lot of what not to do. And I seem to be really good at what not to do. Okay, so I have this habit of violent watering. And it's because I get really impatient, or like, you know, three-year-olds have the attention span of a fruit fly. So I'll be out in the garden with my three-year-old and like she's chasing the chickens and she's doing all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, like, hurry, hurry, because she's going to, next thing you know, like, I'm going to have to leave, and then nothing will have gotten watered, and there's just dirt everywhere, okay? Like, I have dug out around the roots,
with my violent watering, which exposed roots are not good, okay, for any plant. So I'm a violent waterer, gets stuff everywhere. My lemon tree has no leaves right now because it's in shock because I moved it. But everyone knows you move it with enough dirt around it. Oh, no, just bare roots and then just like fluff it in there. I don't know. I mean, I guess I could say I have a lot of faith, but I don't think so. I think it's just a lack of wisdom. My veggies are so thirsty and I'm just like, well, I don't know. I don't have time. This morning I saw them and I was like, oh, girls, you look thirsty. Well, I gotta go. I'll see you tonight. So we'll see if they last through the day. I don't know. And then I don't even, like, I don't trust the process, right? So has anyone ever planted sweet peas, like the flower? Okay. They're pretty easy to plant. It's like a pretty big seed. You just, you know, tuck it in. And then, well, on the package, it says that when they get to a certain height, a couple inches or whatever, you thin them so there's room to grow and blossom. Well, I don't trust the process. I'm like, why are you telling me to thin them? Well, you want me to have less flowers? Like, no. So I left all my sweet peas, and now they're just like a tangled dreadlock of plants, and there are no blossoms. I should have trusted the process. So, and I did. I planted a fairy garden. Now, there's this really cute seed packet. It says fairy garden, and so it's all these different kinds of flowers that are teeny tiny. So if a little fairy lands in my garden, they'll be just big enough to, I don't know, hold and sniff or wear as a hat or something. And I just love my fairy garden. But I'm cheap, so I just dug soil out from the ground instead of buying planting soil. And so I put it in this really cute old vintage wheelbarrow and planted this fairy garden. But the soil is rock hard, so there ain't no fairy garden happening at my house. I just need an adjustment, okay, with my cultivation skills. But, you know, because my garden has no chance at life if it's not cultivated, if the soil isn't broken up, you know, and the same with our life. Like, really, our relationships have no chance if there's no cultivation. You don't throw seeds at your relationship with God or with your mother or your children or your husband and walk away and just, yeah, there's going to be fruit in 30 to 90 days. There's not going to be anything. There might be a dreadlock of tangles. There might be hard ground. There might be absolutely nothing. It takes appropriate care, just like in a garden. It takes mindfulness and encouragement and cultivation to get any kind of health. So if we're not intentional, we're going to get swept up, right, in whatever life throws at us. Or we're going to end up without any fruit at all. So we're going to keep that idea of cultivation throughout the rest of what I have for you. So just keep kind of, I'm going to move into some other metaphors, but just keep that idea. That's like the overarching, like, main thing is cultivation. So if you brought a Bible, open it up to Colossians chapter 3. And I'm going to be reading out of the New Living because I just feel like it reads well and it's conversational. So we'll just, I love this section. So we're going to cover probably half of this section, a little more than half of this section, but I'm going to start with the first four verses. And in my Bible, it says, living the new life, which sounds really good. Don't we all want to live the new life? Like, no matter where you're at, like, I want the new life. That just sounds so good. So I'm going to read the first four verses. Just kind of read along with me. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life. And your real life is hidden with Christ and God. I'm going to read that again. Your real life is hidden with Christ and God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So this passage is telling us that new life, well, this is what I'm getting from it at least. New life starts with identity. Like, Christ is my life. He is my real life. And I think as women, we get really tripped up on our identities, right? Because it kind of, we feel like, oh, well, that defines me. And this passage is telling you, and it's telling me, that our identity is not what we're good at. It's not what we're into. Our identity is not high achiever. It is not athlete or hippie. It is not Christian wife. It is not businesswoman. It is not singer or fighter. It is not fashionista. It is not artist. Now, all these things are good, right? And they might describe you, but all of these things are subject to change, okay? Now, that's the important part. For example, if my identity is wrapped up in being an author, right, because I just wrote a book, and I never write another book, I never publish another one, then I'm crushed. That changes my identity, and it leaves me with nothing. What if my identity is wrapped up in being a parent and my child dies? I know about that, you guys. Or what about your identity is wife and your husband dies, and that just leaves you slaughtered? Or what if your identity is, well, I'm the girl that serves everyone. I'm the girl that's in the back making lasagna for 200, and you get in a car accident and you can't use your hands anymore. Then you're crushed. If your identity is in something that can change, then it's in the wrong thing. Those things are gifts, they are talents, but they are not your identity. They do not define you. You are more than that. I am more than that. Our identity is Christ. He is our life. And let's get that straight, because that's the main part of the reset button that we're pushing with this adjustment that we're all getting, right? And this is one of my favorite things to talk about in the whole wide world, but let's talk about it. Let's talk about this identity we have in Christ, and let's talk about being children of God and being worth this great sacrifice. Let's talk about Jesus and what he did. Did you guys remember this? Do you remember what Jesus did for you? Do you remember that he is the one who made the whole universe and said, you know what? Because I love Kathy so much, I'm going to be a little baby who cannot change his own diaper, who cannot survive unless someone feeds him. I'm going to come to this teeny little nothing country in the middle of the Middle East, and I'm going to be helpless, and I'm going to live a life of humility and hard work and 3 short years of ministry because I love Kathy. He said that about each one of you. Do you guys know what he did when he was here? Do you know that he was the one who lifted the face of the adulteress and said, I love you, go and sin no more? He was the one that held onto the lepers that no one would get near, no one would touch. He brought grace. He got dirty for us. He was hungry for us. He was tired for us. He did all those things. And did you know that when it was time to go to the cross, he didn't want to? That blows my mind. It's not like he was all, let's do this. Let's do this. No, he got beat up. He got blood running down his face from that crown of thorns that these wicked men put on his head. He hung naked in front of people, in front of his own mother, bleeding beyond recognition because he loves us. You were bought with a price. That's our identity. Worth something, worth everything. I love that he did that for everyone, you guys, not just the people who deserved it, because newsflash, no one deserves it. He did it for the prostitute, and he did it for the priest, and he did it for me, and he did it for you guys. And that blows my mind every time. And if that's not an identity adjustment, then receive it right now. Because when we are owning this like deep identity, like that's my real self, that's my real life, then everything else can flow from that truth. So these 4 verses, I love starting this whole next passage because of those 4 verses that just kind of like sets the tone, man. Like, this is what's important, and it's from this place that you're even going to be able to live out the truth that is in this passage. So the passage we're coming up on is going to give us a way to cultivate beauty and wellness in our relationships and in our faith and in our real life, no matter what our current circumstances, okay? It's all going to flow from the truth of this identity. And I like to think of our identity like this. We're royalty. It's kind of fun, right? So my daughter, Fifi, I promise you her real name is Fifi. Everyone's like, really? When strangers are like, what's your name? And she goes, it's Fifi. And they're like, what'd she say? She said Fifi. Yes, I know. Her name is Fifi. My daughter Fifi's super into like princess dresses. Daisy was never into that. She was more into like, I want to be like a lion or a dinosaur or a bear or something crazy. But Fifi's super into princesses. And I was never really into princesses. But when you think of royalty, I think in our deepest heart, we're like, yeah, I'm going to be a princess, okay? Because a princess has everything she needs and then some. So we're actually royalty because God is king and he adopted us as his own daughters. And so if you think of it like this, a woman who knows what her place is, right? Do you ever feel like, oh, I don't know what my place is? You walk into a room of people and you're like, oh, I don't feel like I belong. But you walk into your own home and you're like, I belong here. Like, this is my place. You act differently. And so when you know, hey, man, my dad is king, then you have this identity that flows, you know, this position of influence. And then you, when you realize that, you act like it, right? So a princess is above pettiness. A princess believes she is lovely and she treats others as so. She's generous. A princess is gracious. She's kind in her speech. And she lacks nothing. And so she's not, you know, holding on or grasping for what she thinks she can get from her husband or from her best friends or her children or in an unhealthy way, because she's like, no, God has given me everything I need. I have got plenty. So she doesn't have to do those things. She believes so fully that she is loved so much that you can't rock her boat very easily. That's what our identity needs to be on a daily basis. Every choice we make needs to come from this place of royalty. And you know what? A princess is willing to share because she knows she's got an endless supply of whatever it is that she is being asked to give. And when I'm reminded that I am loved that much, that what we just talked about, then I hold my head higher. I speak more kindly to my family, right? Like, I walk a little prouder. And I have this lens of the gospel, right? This lens of being loved more than I can ever imagine and not deserving a teeny inch of it. It changes the way I behave. It shapes the way I relate in my life, in my real life, to everyone around me, not just my family, but my friends and strangers and my neighbors and all that. So when we function from this true identity of royalty and of being loved and being worth everything, it's that cultivation of rich soil so that there can be growth and harvest. So I'm going to get to the spanking part because I love that. So I'm going to read verses 5 through 9. I'm going to back up real quick. So remember all the unicorns and rainbows of the first four verses. Your real life is in Christ, and you're going to share in God's glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. It's like, la, la, la. I was so happy. And then boom, death, right? But I feel like Paul set it up like, hey, there's this great thing so that you need none of that. That is not for you. And, you know, this section has some imagery and some really heavy commands. But I feel like it's purposeful. It's not just, hey, don't do, don't do, don't do, don't do. It's like Whole 30. Hey, man, don't eat these things so that you can be well. And that's what's so cool about getting set up in this section. And you know what I realized, and this is why I'm sharing this, is that this calls for a good close-up mirror check on ourselves, okay? Not on everybody else, because we all know, oh, I know somebody who needs these verses right now. No, that someone is you, okay? Because it's me. And Peter says, repent so that times of refreshing can come. And that's what I love about these verses, even though they're so hardcore, is that repentance sounds scary. And I feel like, oh, that's going to make me feel trapped. But no, repentance is freeing. Right? So these verses are freeing, okay? Right now, think about it. If you're in an unhealthy pattern of rudeness to your family, if you're in an unhealthy pattern of cattiness, of cutting down your husband, of judging everyone around you, and I were to tell you, girl, you're fine. You know, if I wasn't to say something about it, you do you, okay? I'm not doing you any favors. That's not cool. So Paul's not doing us any favors, and we might not want to hear it, and it might be scary to say it, but this is what love is. It's just hitting it head on, and staying in a pattern of sin is bondage. It's not setting us free. One time, my husband and I, toward the end of my daughter's 3.5 years of cancer treatment, we were, I think, maybe 2 months before she died, we had spent, I think, 4 or 6 solid weeks in the hospital. Tensions were running high. The two of us were like ships in the night. Just, you know, we would do 12-hour shifts. I would do the daytime so he could work, and then he would come and sleep there, so 7 to 7. And I remember he called me one day, and we're talking on the phone, and it's hard to be in the hospital, not only with a dying child, but people come in and out of the door. There's a million different choices or decisions to make, and it's just like super duper stressful, not to mention you're really, really tired. And when I get tired, I get real mean, which sounds funny, but it's not funny because I might tell you a story later. We'll see. Anyway, we'll see. So we're talking on the phone, and then I don't know. I can't even remember what we were talking about. I got upset, and I hung up on him. And that's not how we roll. That's not really the way. We're not like that passionate couple that's like, no, and then like hang up. Like, that's not my jam. And then I get a call right back. He calls me right back. And you know what he said to me? You do not hang up on me. But you know why he said it and why he was so intense about it? He said, and I was just like bracing myself for like, you do not hang up on me. He was like, we are on the same team. We are on the same team. We are for the same purpose. And you know what, you guys? Had he just let me like treat him rudely and hang up on him and then just was like, you know what, babe? It's cool. I get it. You do you. He would not have been doing me any favors. So I was getting swept up in the emotions and everything that was happening, but my husband was honest with me, and he was bold, and he was assertive, and he was wise, and it cut through those feelings, and I feel like that's how these verses are right now. And you know what? He would not have been loving me well if he just let me get away with it. I'm so grateful, and I just said, you know what? I am so sorry, and we were able as a team to get through what we had to get through. So we just can't take the back seat after we are raised to new life, right? Like in the first few verses. You just don't throw your seeds out and walk away and expect everything to work out. So I'm doing that with you guys today. I had to do this to myself just a couple weeks ago, okay? So I'm just saying right now, if this seems like I'm calling you on the phone and saying, I'm saying right now, you got something in here in this list of stuff that Paul's saying, get out, get it out. Confess it to a sister. repent, turn. It is not good for you. And I say that in love. And listen, it's relevant whether you've been walking with God for a long time, because I've been walking with God for about 20 years. And I needed it really, really badly about 10 days ago. It was pretty radical. And I'm trying to decide if I'm going to tell this story, but I don't know. Now you're like, tell me it's not that bad. It's not that juicy. I don't know. But for me, it was bad. But anyway, we cultivate our relationships with our every choice, every day. And so let's take a good look at ourselves. So that's that part. And Paul says, get rid of these things. And the next thing we're supposed to do, right, after being raised to new life, is to clean out our closet. And you're like, really? You warned me. I warned you about the metaphors. Clean out our closet. And this is the wardrobe imagery right here. So let's see. Strip off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds, right? So like, you got to take things off. Like Paul is saying, these are the things, like, take them off of you. And then later on, he's going to tell us what to put on instead. So let's imagine a royal wardrobe, because I really like clothes. Clothes are a lot of fun. My guess is like 99% of y'all like clothes too. Now, if you have a royal wardrobe, what belongs in it? Like, I know we all have something in our mind right now, like whether it's like long bohemian dresses or, you know, I don't know, leather pants, whatever you're into. If you were a princess, whatever you'd be wearing. Okay, well, do you see a ratty old stinky pair of sweats in there? Like, probably not. Or like one of those like greasy coverall things, the guys that work on cars, like, yeah, no, that's not in there. What about like, oh yeah, I work at the docks and I got fish for hours on end. Like, is that in there? That thing that really, really smells, or like you clean out sewer lines? No, those things are not welcome in a royal wardrobe, much less on your actual body. And listen, a garment like that is super ugly and it stinks up your whole space and others are affected. So I'm going to tell you a story. Please don't think that I'm hating on homeless people, because I absolutely love homeless people, but it just happens to be there's a homeless person in my story. So I don't want to hear y'all saying Kate Merrick hates homeless people. So we have a lot of homeless people in our little beach town. We love them. Love it when they come to church. Love it when they burst out with whatever they got. So this one woman comes in, and my husband wasn't teaching that day, and I happened to go use the bathroom halfway through, and he's out in the foyer, and there's this one precious woman who is very mentally ill, and she's been over halfway, and you know, we see her around town all the time, and she has these episodes, and she walks like this, and so she's walking through the foyer like this, you know, and we're like, hi, you know, we say hi to her, and she's like, doesn't say anything. Sometimes she's completely lucid and we'll talk and talk and talk. She was not lucid at all. I turned to say something to him, and before I turned back, she's gone through the doors, and there's someone like teaching right then. So it's like the middle of the service. She goes through the doors and we're like, oh, let's watch and see what happens. This is fun. So we're watching through the windows and to see what happens with the lady. And so she does her little shuffle thing. You know, a couple of people are looking, but we're pretty used to it. It's pretty awesome. So she does this shuffle thing like this, and then she goes down like five aisles, and then she like climbs over a couple of people, scoots over some empty seats, and then takes a seat right next to my 16-year-old son. And we're cracking up. We're like, bah! My poor son is like, we're just watching him from behind. He's just like, aah! And the poor woman just, my point in this is that she had not washed in many, many moons. And so there was a cloud around her of smell. And so next thing you see, he's like leaning into his girlfriend. Like, and then I'm going to throw my son under the bus right now. He gets up and walks out. He only lasts like 5 minutes. And we're like, really, dude? Like only 5 minutes? Come on. But my point with telling you this story is, if you're wearing a garment that does not smell good, it affects everyone around you, okay? It is not just you. It's everyone around you. So take them off, okay? And the passage also says that things are lurking, okay? So, okay, I'm going to tell you this story. So last week,
the thing that was lurking. I didn't see it, you guys, but there was something foul lurking in me. And like I said, when I am really tired, I have like an anger issue. And like, I could justify it and be like, oh, well, you know, I didn't sleep or whatever it is. But no, there's no justification for sin in the Bible. Like, well, you know what? You just really felt like it. So it's totally cool. Like, I don't know. Show me where that verse is. Well, I completely unleashed on my son late at night, and he did not do anything. It was all me. And I said some mean things to him, and I felt like dirt, you guys. I did not sleep all night long. And this is my point in telling you, is that thing was lurking in me. I thought I was fine. I didn't know it was there. And I'm really sad I had to find out like that. So the way we want to find out if there's something lurking is ask the Lord so he can weed that thing out of you before you unleash on your precious loved ones the way I did. So like seriously repented for like 24 hours. I literally got on my knees and was just like weeping in the middle of the night from the way I treated my precious son. So that was pretty horrifying. And I think that's why Paul says that they're lurking. So you know, you just can't let those things hang around because next thing you know, they pop out and they hurt someone you love. And it hurts you at the same time. So whatever that thing is, how would a princess behave? Does a princess flirt with a guy she's not married to? No. Does a princess unleash on her son who did not do anything wrong just because she was tired? No, she doesn't. Does a princess gossip just for prayer? You guys do that ever? Take that off, okay? Kill it. It does not belong on you. It smells bad, okay? What about the way you talk to your family, right? Your word choices. You got to peel that nasty thing off. Whatever is lurking, get rid of it. Clear out your old closet and don't save any of it for later. You guys ever do that? Well, I think I'll fit into these jeans again one day. Like, yeah, probably not till the resurrection, but... I have a stack of those. I don't know why I do that. But don't do that. Don't donate them. Just burn these things in you. Now is the time, he says. It is not safe or healthy, okay? We're doing the reset. We're getting adjustment. Get all those things out, all those things. And this is the best part, is after we ask God for forgiveness, after we confess it to a sister, or like I just confessed to you about what I did last week, clear out some space in your closet for some brand new, beautiful garments. Verse 10 and 11. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Oh, that's so good. Right? Because I felt like so low after that happened. After I treated my son that way, I felt so low. I felt like I smelled so bad, but there's hope. He's like, be renewed. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord, I can fix this, or you can fix this. Verse 11, in this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. It doesn't matter whether you're single, whether you're divorced. Okay, it does not matter what you've done. It does not matter what's been done to you. It does not matter where you've been. We all have access to the same royal wardrobe. Do you guys ever wish you could just walk away from your old life and just like start a new one, just like you're changing your clothes? Like, this is our chance, okay? This is it. I'm walking away and I'm gonna put on the clothing of a new life. So these are the fun, beautiful, pretty close verses. We're going to read verses 12 through 14. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Put on, okay? It doesn't happen by itself. You don't throw those seeds out and walk away. You had to take off. You had to weed that garden, and then you got to put on all the stuff that's going to cultivate that health in your life. And these things, are like a garment of beauty and a garment of worth. It's something you want on you, right? So you're going to take off that thing that you gutted fish in for 8 hours and you're going to put on cashmere. You're going to put on silk. You're going to put on something that when someone walks up next to you, they don't want to get up and walk away. You're going to put these things on that's going to make the person next to you just want to cuddle up and say, oh, you're just blessing me right now, just being with you because of that thing that you're wearing, that you're clothing yourself in, right? And, you know, it's these seemingly small things. You know, I think we read these verses and we're like, yeah, I've been a Christian for 100 years. Like, these are all the things you do or whatever. But, you know, they're actually teeny choices, but they are our real life. Like, this is our real life. Paul says, okay, Christ is your real life. And then, all right, take these stinky things on. Put these beautiful things on. This is your real life. And you think, well, it's such a small thing. Tenderhearted mercy. What is that? Giving a cup of cold water? That's your real life. That's beautiful. That smells good. When's the last time you took care of someone who didn't deserve it? Has there ever been a friend or relative on your doorstep who's been binging on cocaine for 3 days and needs you to wash their clothes? It's happened to me before. A guy that used to be in our college ministry, he did that a couple times. And you know what? It's not the thing you're like, I'm jumping at, I can't wait to wash your clothes. No, but it's a beautiful thing. That's tenderhearted mercy. What about kindness? Do you automatically revert to kindness? I know I don't. It's not like my go-to. Oh, I'm so kind, right? Like, are you kind to your employees? Are you kind to your mom? Are you kind to your teenagers? That's your real life. What about humility? Who in here is righteous? Show of hands. Maybe Jasmine. That's about it. When's the last time you're like, you know what? I have this friend. She's blown it in her marriage 5 times in a row. And I'm going to have the humility to love on her because I'm not above that. I could be her right now. What about gentleness? Did you know that having a kind word to your 3-year-old who is melting your brain with the boring things she says? I speak from experience. My little girl is like a magical fairy, and I love her, but honestly, like, she's in that weird stage where she, like, asks things, everything is why, and then you're just like, my brain is melted. You're so boring. But the Bible says gentleness. If I'm gentle with her, that's my real life. That smells good on me. That looks good on me. And it looks good on her. That's my real life. What about sharing the gospel with gentleness? When it's someone you know is just spit in the face of Jesus, would he share the gospel gently or with harshness? No, he would share it gentleness. That's your real life. That's the beautiful thing you put on. You think, oh, these things are so tiny, but they're so meaningful. What about patience? I remember I was in this little Bible study with a bunch of newer wives. And I'm just saying right now, like, I've been a mom for almost 17 years and I've been a wife for almost 20. And, like, I'm, like, secretly making fun of all y'all new moms and new wives. Because the things you worry about, like, you just don't worry about 20 years later, just saying. But I remember I was in this Bible study. It's okay, you guys can make fun of me too. I was in this Bible study, and this one girl was complaining that her husband had forgotten his sunglasses, and that's the 3rd time this week. And I remember being like, I cannot sit in this room and listen to you. Are you kidding me right now? Like, you're complaining that, like, just a newsflash, like, you're home and he's out making money, like, while you stay home. Like, I'm sorry. I know people who would love to be married to a good man who probably line up in your place. And I told her, I was like, I'm sorry, if that's all you have to complain about, you've got it pretty good. And she never spoke to me ever again. She didn't. But patience. I need it. I have a teenage son. Like, you need patience. They forget everything. But hey, that's one of these beautiful things to put on. I love that. There's just this benefit. What about forgiveness? Does anyone in here not need forgiveness? I need it. So why wouldn't we extend it over and over and over and over again?
That's a good thing. That's a beautiful garment. Do it now. Do it fast and do it often. Forgiveness. All these things we do cultivate this beauty in us. And, you know, I was thinking about how all these things are not my go-to, okay? Like, I'm not naturally all, oh, yeah, no, that's so easy for me. And then I was thinking, well, gosh, what about all the, like, time and attention we put into, like, our daily, how we present ourselves to the world? Think about it. Think about what you did this morning. Like, if you showered, and how many different products you use. Like, did you wear deodorant? Did you brush your hair? Did you flat iron your hair? Did you put mascara on? Did you put, you know, eyelid primer on? Did you use toothpaste? Like, I'm serious right now. Like, think about hair removal, okay? Like, how much time do you devote to hair removal? I know I do. It's like, it's significant, okay? Well, I thought, what if we devoted? What if I devoted the time that I put into my outward appearance to my spiritual wellness, right? Like to my inward. Like, what if I just, like, you know, it's good. I'm not saying, no, don't do all these things, because if you don't do these things, you smell bad. People get up and walk away. They don't want to be next to you. Okay, well, no, and I was seriously, when I was thinking about all the things, and I was like, wow, that's a lot. Like, we pluck our eyebrows, we put mud masks on our skin. Like, we do so much stuff. How many products are in your shower? Okay, if you have more than 6 products in your shower, raise your hand. I just need to know. Be honest. Yeah, there. Okay, we have like 10, and I don't even consider myself like a foo-foo person. Anyway, I was thinking, I need to be purposeful, because if I put the kind of time into, like, right, like, these beautiful, like, this wardrobe that I'm being offered here, like, there would be a big difference in who I am and how healthy I am in my relationships and how well I can serve the Lord. So you know what I did? Because I realized, I was like, oh, like, my go-to is kind of those old dirty sweats. And I was like, no, I'm going to make my go-to these things that Paul is telling us to put on. So I made some stickers, and there were 7 stickers, and it was all these things. So it was humility, gentleness, patience, kindness, compassion, forgiveness, and I stuck them on products I use every day. So kindness, I stuck on my eyeshadow. I tried to stick them on things that, like, meant something to me, you know, where you're like, oh, I met this girl, she had such kind eyes. And I was like, oh, I want to be the kind eyes girl. So when I use my eyeshadow, God, give me kindness. Give me kindness for, you know, this situation, this person. Humility, I stuck on my deodorant, right? Because I know I stink. Although now I'm using, like, natural deodorant, and I looked in the mirror and I totally had pit marks, because it doesn't stop your sweat, but it stops your smell. So forgive me for that. Patience, I stuck on my tooth whitener, because you can't just use it once and you have a gleamy white smile. You got to use it like 7 days in a row or something like that. So I stuck all these things on, and when I use these products every day, I'm praying that God would clothe me in those things. And, like, seriously, it works. Like, it's such a blessing. It's just, it's there. It's in front of your face, and you're saying, Lord, I want to put these things on that you're offering me. So I did that. It's like a tangible reminder, and I love doing that. So if you guys think of it, or even grab a Sharpie, seriously, grab a Sharpie, just whatever, Lord, I need love. Put, you know, love on your toothpaste or whatever it is, like those 7 things. And then as you use them, God is clothing you in those things. So the last part of this passage, well, just as far as I'm going today, I look at kind of like accessories, and that is verse 15. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. So no outfit is complete without the perfect accessory, and I feel like peace and gratitude, come on. I mean, it just makes the whole thing. Like, when you're with someone who has peace written all over them, like, you want more of what they got. And you know where that peace comes from, and gratitude too. And so, you know, I think we, like, read into our life in Christ so much. We're like, oh, Lord, tell me what my calling is, and am I supposed to go to Africa and help these orphans? And, like, it's actually
way more simple than that. He's like, well, you're called to live in peace. Oh, I can do that, right? And gratitude, and same thing, cultivation, cultivation, cultivation. Who do you know that is naturally, like, so full of gratitude, just naturally, and they don't have to cultivate it? They don't sit and notice and say, thank you, Lord, for. Have you guys ever started, like, a list? Oh, thank you, Lord, for. Write it down. Write it down. Your word. Thank you, Lord, for sunshine. Thank you, Lord, for a room full of beautiful women who love you. I recently found a little list I had written maybe 5 years ago. And I start these lists everywhere, and then, I don't know, I just, whatever. They end up somewhere else. And Fifi, my princess three-year-old, was coloring in her, she calls it her Bible. She's coloring in her Bible, and I opened it, and there was a gratitude list from, you know, 5 or so years ago. And I was so blessed. I was thanking God for my son, and I was thanking God for my daughter's fluffy hair, and I was thanking God for a certain friend of mine, and it was just so, I was just like, Lord, thank you for reminding me of those things. So when you cultivate that gratitude, like, there's just so much of a growth, and I just felt like, oh, Lord, you've been with me this whole time. It just reminded me of the way he loves me, and I think when you're cultivating gratitude, just like with the seeds, you know, you throw them out and you walk away. You got to be mindful about it. You cannot cultivate gratitude if you are watching everyone else and lusting after what they have. Okay, and it has never been harder in the history of the world that I know of than now, because we have social media. And I used to be on social media, and that's not to say I will never go back on. I am not on currently. It has been 5 years this summer since I was on Instagram. And who knows, maybe I'll go back. But I had to go off because I was not a thankful person. I would scroll through and see what other people had that I didn't, that God had not given to me, instead of seeing what I did have. And, like, you guys, it changed my life when I decided, whoa, this is where your heart's going with this. And I just decided, you know what? This is not a blessing to me. And this is causing me to have this rotten smell to the Lord and to everyone around me, because I am this, you know, selfish, depressed person because I'm looking at what God had not yet given me, or if ever. And you know, you don't realize it. Like, at the time, I didn't realize that what I was doing when I was looking through social media is that I was comparing my insides with everyone else's outsides. And that's a wrong thing to do. You cannot cultivate peace and gratitude when you're constantly comparing your insides with everyone else's outsides. I have this friend, and she's wonderful. She's one of my best friends. She and her husband, we planted a church. So our church plants churches out of ours. So they planted a church in Boston. And on our way to Israel, maybe lots of stuff you don't know about me, but years ago we went to Israel trying to get a cure for my daughter. On our way to Israel, we stopped in Boston and spent a few days with our dear friends. While we were there, we went to this place called the Arboretum. It's like this gorgeous tree park in Boston, and we had a picnic. It was like, you know, cutting board and cheese, and it was so beautiful, and it was classy, and we've got these beautiful kids running around, and, you know, if you don't notice that my daughter's wearing a beanie, you wouldn't know anything was wrong with her. And Nina takes a picture of our picnic and posts it on Instagram. And then I was already off by that time, but she showed me what she posted, and I looked at it, and I thought, if you don't know us, you'd be totally jealous. You'd think, oh my gosh, these families have it all. They're hanging out together. They're having a picnic in the Arboretum, Boston in the fall. I mean, it does not get cooler than that. But what was really going on, my family was trying desperately to save my daughter's life. Like, we were in the depths of despair, and their family was spiritually so, just having the hardest time, depression, spiritual warfare, heavy from planting a church, heavy. So we're both two really, really sad families. And if you saw that and thought one thing, but the other thing is real, That's not doing anyone any favors. So you just keep that in mind when you're trying to, when you look at other people's Facebook or whatever it is. God gave you what he gave you. Okay, he made you who he made you. And that is a gift to you. To you and your family and no one else, okay? So you own that. So cultivate gratitude, cultivate peace, choose truth. That's why the Word of God is such a treasure, so that he can say to someone like me, girl, you've been a pastor's wife for almost 20 years and a believer for all, you know, all these years, but you still need to take off some stinky garments and you still need to remember to choose the beautiful things to put on. So I know we don't do like prayer time or whatever, but maybe, you know, if something I said hit a nerve in your quiet time tonight, tomorrow, whatever, I just want you to ask yourself before the Lord, like, what do you want to put on? What is in this list of things of taking off? Did you hear anything in there that like rang true? Like, oh, that hit a note. I got to take that off. Or what were you like, you know what? I really need to put on humility. God will show you. And it will cultivate health in your relationships. It will cultivate growth and fruit in your relationship with the Lord. And God can use you better. You can be a healthier, more fruitful person. He's a safe place. You know what? Your sisters are a safe place too. If you need to pull someone aside before you get in your car today and say, girl, I gotta tell you, you know, I did this thing. Chances are she's going to say, cool, you're safe with me. Let's pray. You're good to go. Another thing, and I think this is really, 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 really important, and I'm going to leave you with this. And one more question is, do you believe that you're loved? Do you believe that you're worth everything we talked about that Jesus did for you? Do you believe that you're worth this royal wardrobe that is being offered in these scriptures? Do you believe that your new life is in Christ and that you're going to share in his glory? Because if you don't believe that, get prayer. Ask God, show me, Lord, show me in your word. Because I'll tell you what, I think it comes and goes. I think sometimes we can feel like, yeah, no, I know what God did for me. I feel loved. And then sometimes we can say, oh, you know what? I am such a loser and I blew it so bad. God could never love me. Well, that's the voice of the devil. Do you believe you're loved? Can you function from that truth, from that identity? And my last question for you is, are you willing to cultivate beauty? Just like I had to be willing to reset that button by doing the hard work with Whole 30. Are you willing to cultivate beauty? In your new life, are you willing to clothe yourself in these things? So the Word of God is a treasure. It is everything. It's like the roadmap to so much good, so much beauty, and it breathes life into our everyday world. Not just, oh, I'm saved, now I'm good. No, this is every day. This is every day, okay? This stuff is good, 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 and this is our real life. Lord, thank you that you are our real life. Thank you that you are the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. You're amazing, and you're generous. And we are grateful, grateful to you for life. We are grateful to you that you would take away our disgusting garments and that you would offer something better. You are generous. Thank you that we get to just step out of our old clothes and right into our new life, no matter where we've been, no matter how long we've been saved, or if we're not even saved yet and today's the day. You are so good. It is Christmas every day with you, Lord. I just pray that you would speak by your Holy Spirit to each heart here. You know what each needs to hear and believe and know and own. In Jesus' name, amen.